I am a sex addict. This is my journal through recovery as it happens. I will give you my own personal insights and thoughts as they occur through every step of my experience. I make no claim of expertise or advanced knowledge. I am on the same path that many have followed. I am seeking guidance, support, wisdom, and prayer. Each episode, I will give an unfiltered account of my hopes, prayers, anxieties, fears, and hopefully some learnings as well. I will start practicing rigorous honesty here. I'm terrified about being so transparent with my emotions. As an addict, I'm new at this whole intimacy thing. I hope you find something here that aids you in your own recovery. This journal is part of my recovery, a very important part. Take what you like and leave the rest. Sincerely, a Christian and a sex addict. Change. Change is traumatic, chaotic. It fed my addict. It's something prior to recovery that I depended on, a function of my self-reliance and my self-will. You see, I needed change. I used it as a crutch to defer judgment, to hide lies, betrayals, my own sins. As a young adult, I jumped from college to college, then job to job. Then I moved my family from place to place, all in an effort to hide my ever-deepening sexual sin. Change was a necessity to stay hidden. I couldn't allow anyone, especially my wife or family, to get too settled, where they could pay close attention to what I was doing or wasn't doing. Change and the noise surrounding it were vital for me to survive unknown, hidden, and spiraling further out of control. I recognized early on that change was a tool for me to use. Thinking about it now, I started using change as a shield right after high school. That's when the chaos really started to settle in as part of my daily life. I switched colleges 6 times before I eventually graduated. I changed majors 4 different times. The registrar at my last college pulled me aside and went through my transcript with me to figure out how I could graduate the quickest. I consistently stopped showing up for class, tried to use excuses and lies to manipulate my professors to let me pass, and when that didn't work, ultimately failed the class or dropped, depending on my timing. Only when I finally married my wife and could no longer stumble headlong into chaos alone did I finally graduate. I was dependent upon her for stability. That's how I finally made it through college, by a series of lies, misdirections, failures, and ultimately no other option. Great practice for later life. Change continued into my work life. I started out trying to figure out a career. A multitude of majors and a lack of clear direction led me to a whole bunch of roles, from insurance sales to advertising sales, nonprofit development, and ultimately recruiting. God did give me a little clarity there to see that He had designed me to be successful in a career in human resources. I jumped in and started feeding the other partner of change, self-reliance. I was in charge of my career. I didn't have to depend upon others to give me an opportunity. I found where I fit and used that knowledge and used other people to further my career. I called change in my career another name, development. I was seeking, quote, opportunities, unquote, not changing for any other reason. The only problem was I was not in control. I thought I was so good at my job that I could balance career and chaos. Everyone else lied to their employer, used their position to further their own desires, right? Only as my career began to progress, my addiction progressed even faster. The lies and deception I used to further my addiction impacted my job and my life. I leveraged my autonomy as a manager in charge of my own time to use that power to further my own acting out. I traveled, not for work, but for my own desires, to act out, to meet other women, to develop relationships outside my marriage. I was forced to leave several jobs because my employer was about to find out about my misuse of company time, or my performance suffered to an extent that I was asked to leave. I described these situations to my wife and family as a boss that was out to get me, or a division of my company closed, or I was going to take another job because it was a better opportunity for us. Change didn't stop. Neither did the accompanying chaos. My work and career were following my addiction down parallel paths, spinning further and further out of control. I was sliding down the scale in the type and scope of my addictive behaviors. I progressed from pornography to online chats, to phone calls, to massage parlors, to meeting other women, to developing multiple relationships outside my marriage. I justified my own behavior by telling myself that my wife was unhappy, that she didn't want to be married to me, that most of our fights were her fault. I didn't and couldn't see the impact that my deception was having on her and our kids. The constant worry that I would come home and say that we needed to move again, that I had to change jobs again, that change was happening again. Ultimately, I reached the end of my spiral. I reached the point where it made perfect sense to leave my wife and kids, to move away from them, to start over. They would be better off without me. Once she found out what I had done, if she found out what I had been doing, she would leave, rightfully so. So why not save her from that, protect her from that damage, and make that final change for her and for our kids? It sounded logical at the time, until she broke through my logic and lies and asked me to come home, stop lying, and be real and transparent and a husband and a father. She told me the truth, that I would never stop chasing change and chaos and would run away until I couldn't run anymore. So why didn't I just stop and come home? So I made a change. I asked for help. I didn't know what I needed. I wasn't done hiding or lying or running yet, but I asked for help. That started the real change in my life, only not right away. I attended a recovery meeting and found out I didn't belong there, or I thought I didn't. Those guys were crazy enough to tell the truth. I wasn't ready for that change yet. I started going to a counselor and lied to him about the depth, breadth, and scope of my acting out. I was still very good at manipulation and lies, hiding my change. So I changed from a deceptive husband who was disconnected to a deceptive husband who acted connected and tried to change on his own. I had hidden so much for so long. I didn't need to change my hiding. I needed to change how I was acting, not who I was. So I tried that. It lasted for 9 months. I changed my outward-looking behavior. I became more attentive and involved with my kids. I remembered birthdays and anniversaries. I took my wife on a trip for our wedding anniversary. And the week we got back, she discovered I'd only changed my appearance, not who I was. She had discovered again that my acting out hadn't stopped. I'd continued reaching out to other affair partners, lied to my counselor, successfully completed marriage counseling with her. I had changed, but I hadn't. Change is defined as to replace something with something else, especially something of the same kind that is newer or better. Substitute one thing for another. I wasn't newer or better. I hadn't substituted my character from one to another. I acted different, but I hadn't truly changed. I didn't know how. I hadn't truly known how or honestly wanted to. If you asked me then, I would have told you that change was impossible. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." Early in my life, I experienced pain. My pursuit of a path of change and chaos didn't just happen. It's a part of my life I don't like to discuss. I had so much shame attached to it. It was that one thing that I would take to my grave, the one I wouldn't tell, no matter what. That pain, The one thing of being sexually molested by another boy was so powerful that it colored every part of my life to come after. I sought out relief from that pain and shame. I found relief in pursuing a life of not having to face the unthinkable, that no one could protect me but myself. My parents didn't protect me from molestation. My siblings didn't value me as someone worthy of protecting or spending time with. I had to take care of myself. That meant never being vulnerable again, of pursuing what made me feel better. My medication was surrounding myself with people or situations that made me feel wanted, needed, and safe. Situations where I was in control. Until I wasn't in control. See, I was never in control. I was spiraling out of control. From that day at age 10 when I swore I would never be in that pain again, until I found myself with an ultimatum. Get help, real help, or lose your wife and kids and family and job and everything. So I gave up. Matthew in chapter 11 and verses 28 and 29 quotes Jesus when he addressed me for real face to face. A paraphrase here to fit me. Why don't you do the same? He said, "Come to me, my child. I know you are tired. You don't have to carry the burdens you carry by yourself. Let go of your sin and shame. Submit to me, not your sin. Follow my ways. You can trust me. I won't require you to lie or steal or hurt your family. I won't ask you to see me in secret or live with shame constantly. I'm humble and gentle, and I want what is best for you. Come to me and find rest. Take a breath. Take a break. Trust me." I never trusted anyone but myself. Only this time, I gave up. I saw that my ways only led to change that destroyed lives, including my own. My ways led to lies and hurts for my wife and kids. My decisions led to job loss. No savings, no stability, no future, only deception and mistrust and hurt. By trusting him and giving up control, I found the change that lasts. That is the only change that matters. A few months ago, my wife and I were taking a walk. We walk every day together. Even when I travel, we FaceTime and take our evening walk together. It's our intimacy time every day. We catch up, talk, share real stuff. And I don't lie. I don't hide. I show myself as I really am, including the bad stuff. So we were walking and talking and realized we might want to change together. I work from home now and can live wherever I want to. Our kids are out of the house and live in our home state where one finished college and one is in college. So we talked and we prayed and we decided to change. Change doesn't have to be a protective device to hide. It doesn't have to be used to deflect deeper scrutiny or to hide acting out through affairs or relationships. Change, when part of truth, can be good. So we decided to move, to start over in a new place where we could slow down, have more time together as a whole family, and could focus on our future. A few weeks ago, we moved. Our house isn't finished. We haven't found a church yet. Our routines aren't in place. But we had both our boys at our house this weekend. My wife's sister and her daughter came and visited. We're changing our lives and our future. James, Jesus' brother, says in chapter 3 and verse 17 of his book that the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. His wisdom in my life has produced change that isn't always comfortable, but it is full of mercy, that is gentle and leads to peace. His yoke is light. Mine is painful and shameful and isolating. That's the type of change I hope to never see again. Have you changed? Truly changed? Have you asked for his help? Join me in recovery and working the steps and finding help to change for the better.